KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I am Joe.
And I'm Caleb.
And
I'm Jason.
That's right.
Woohoo!
We're back.
We're all together.
It feels
now.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's been a long time, even though it's only been a week. But
yeah,
it's been like the longest week ever.
I guess we're back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Mostly.
We had a special show last week,
mm-hmm.
talking about our experiences at SVCC and wrapping up our top 10 and all that stuff.
Right,
and
right.
Previewing our watch party, had another Caleb's Corner. So a lot of kind of, a special show.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're back to kind of our regular format.
Yes.
So if you're just tuning in, you'll get to experience that regular format for the first time
this year. Yeah.
but speaking of, if you're just tuning in, we are a Geek Centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about stuff like
space
and
technology.
That's right.
With science and technology.
It's fun, you'll see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, entertainment, stuff like video games, movies, comic books, all that stuff. So, something for everyone, we like to think. We like to try to bring you under our geeky wings and
we'll guide you into this weird netherworld, which is actually really cool once you like get used to the environment.
That's right.
And if you have separate geeky wings than us, we like hearing about your geeky wings also.
Yes, please do let us know. And if you wish to get in contact with us right now while the show is going on, you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme or facebook.com/robotsattackshow. These pages are open in the background. We will check them throughout the show and interact with you all when you interact with us. It's awesome. The show gets better when you put in your own 2 cents.
That's right. Speaking of 2 cents, how have you gents been?
Been good. Been good. It was a full but fun weekend. Ended up going and seeing the Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Title of Doom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, last week I spoke a little bit about it, but since, you guys hadn't experienced the film yet, I didn't want to go into it too much. But
Now we can go a little deeper.
Now we can
deeper.
Spoil it for everybody, right?
not quite, maybe. I don't know.
You can give your thoughts.
I thought it was
now.
Cool that they included Dr. Doom. I mean.
Yes.
Yes.
We've been waiting for him to show up.
Yeah.
The ultimate crossover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In something.
No, I enjoyed the movie. I feel like it has some flaws, but the same flaws that most large scale superhero movies face, because they're compressing what would be 4 or 5 months of about 7 or 8, 10 different individual titles, all telling elements of the same story into a single story. And the movie feels a little bit messy because it feels like some of those weird story arcs that you get in those summer blockbuster kind of story thing, like Secret Wars and stuff like that. But I thought they did a pretty good job of the film. I do wish there was more of the first act, because I liked that Batman detective work. I would like to have seen more of that. And I was really kind of hoping that they would go into more of the moral ambiguity of what it means to have a being that is essentially all powerful on Earth. And they started to get there, and then it just seemed like, no, we need them to fight, so we're just going to sort of ignore most of that for a significant portion of the film.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like Snyder's gift and or curse is that he's able to bring up subject matter like that, but not necessarily complete it.
Yeah, and I feel like overall it was fairly deftly handled, all things considered. I was a little bit annoyed that it opens with yet another retelling of Batman's origin.
But it was important. There were a few key things in there that were important for the rest of the story.
And that's why I say it was mild annoyance as opposed to like outright. Ah, it just was like, meh. It was a little bit annoying, like, really? Another Batman origin story? Does every single director that touches a Batman movie have to retell the story of Batman's origin? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying maybe just let Batman be Batman. We've seen the Batman movies. Although, to be fair, Mr. Snyder and Goyer and et al., they did add something to this telling of it that made it a little more unique. So right. I'll grant them that. Yeah.
That's what you meant, right?
Something like that. But I've been talking for a while. How about what did you think of it, Jason?
Okay, how do I put this?
So clearly, just before you answer, clearly it seems like Jay enjoyed it more than myself.
Okay.
If we go back to last week, I said I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it lacked the fun. Like, or you know what? Actually, I thought it lacked the fun, but then you brought up a good point about when I mentioned The Dark Knight and how that was like exciting. Mm-hmm. That's to me, that's what it's missing. Excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what I felt it was missing. You know, like I liked a few things, but overall was just disappointed. There was just, I don't know, too much. But if you want to hear my thoughts, what I said, then you can listen to last week's show. But so now onto Jason. Now we see where he falls in the scale of...
Oh, okay. I don't think I'm going to be like super controversial or anything.
Gasp!
It's just... I somehow managed to put my brain in the state that Snyder wanted it to be for that movie, I think. And I just kind of coasted through it and enjoyed the ride. I felt like it was a fun little ride. And I feel like the other side, it ended up being frustrating when we got out of the movie and everybody was talking about it, just because there's a ton of valid points about what can be wrong with a movie. But the movie actually has references to solve a lot of those points in it. It's just that they're not dwelled on a whole bunch. And it's funny, it always reminds me of when people always have the... Okay, I hear it both ways. People get really concerned that a movie is treating them like they're stupid. And they hate that, I didn't need to hear that 14 times, come on. But obviously, if movies do just give you like a little hint and that's it, especially in an action-packed movie like this, where there's always another thing to be looking at, people are going to miss it. And so it really does seem like you have to bludgeon people to death
with
every single detail.
Or at least bring it up more than once.
You give an example just so...
Yeah.
Let's see. What was one of them? No, I can't.
Well, one thing that I...
Sorry.
No, I know.
To my mind, one of the examples of something that was interesting, but like it didn't seem to relate to much of anything else, was the Flash's appearance in the film. It's like, okay, I know who this is, but it's only because I'm fairly acquainted with how the stories about that character work, and so I can extrapolate who this character is. But other people, afterwards, we were talking about it, they're like, so who exactly was that character, and why did they show up? I'm like, well, there's a few reasons why this character may have showed up. It's where they did and why they did and why he said what he said. Can't say too much, but you know, it
oddly enough, because it's not necessarily spoilers for this movie, but maybe for another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that was in some ways kind of the flaw of his appearance in this film in the first place. But like that,
I think it'll be one of those things when like Justice League movie comes out, some of the others, mm-hmm. and then you go back and like watch all of these, you're like, oh, like you'll like, mm-hmm. it'll make more sense. But
yeah, yeah. One of our friends that was at the a group of us went, said that he'd seen it once before already. And so he liked it more this time, which to me says it probably is because he knows how to connect the dots to put the story, the plot back into something that resembles the plot arc.
That is something I mentioned last week. I do want to see it again.
Like, yeah. But when you're in the middle of it the first time, the plot arc feels a little wobbly at times.
Yeah, like the thing that... One of the things that popped up was... And I've heard this again and again through different critiques of the movie, is that nobody understands why Batman is the way he is. And... I don't get it, because they have news clippings like all over the place in it. They have wine bottles strewn all over like half the scenes.
That seems pretty cut and dry. I mean, it's like you could like disagree with how he feels about Superman, but mm-hmm. I think it would seem pretty obvious like why.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess a lot of it too is, I think a lot of people are so convinced that Batman, like, no matter how bad of a day or how bad of a 10 years he had, would never change, that he would remain, like, absolutely steadfast in being mm-hmm. this perfect knight every single time.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring that, because I was listening to a podcast, one of the people on it was talking about a book he just wrote focusing on how Batman and geek culture mm-hmm. and kind of how like you can kind of see parallels between like mass market geek culture and the arc of Batman as a character.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of the things he brought up is that there are many, many Batmen. There is like Batman isn't just one thing. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at. It's like, there is a Batman, but there's Batman the ideal and Batman the character, and they're not always the same place at the same time.
Right. But it felt like because they only had one actual line of dialogue that was dealing with why, and it was a little bit sparse, and they expected people kind of put together all of the other pieces that were mostly visual pieces.
Hmm.
Like, it sounds like tons of people just don't get it at all.
So we're clear, like, why he wanted to take down Superman, or is something else?
Why he shifted into such a cold personality that is willing to push farther towards the edge of torture and even pick up like what some people would consider a firearm and dream about.
Oh, okay.
Like shooting people.
I see what you mean. Okay.
And like, I've heard so many people talk about like, he's running around with guns all the time. Well, I guess you could characterize it if you were really strict about what the definition of a gun was.
Yeah, the grappling gun was used a few times.
Right. I mean, and I can't get too deep into it because it ends up being spoilers like all over the place, but it just ended up frustrating to me, especially when people that I expected to be like completely hardcore for it, like I ended up, I was really curious to see what Kevin Smith thought of the movie, and it was interesting to see his commentary on it because he walked through the entire movie, like scene by scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying like, oh, I have a lot of respect for the movie. I really enjoyed it. It was really cool and whatnot. But every time he was explaining any given scene, it was like you could see in his face, like, this disappointed me, like, completely. And it came down to, for him, that it wasn't his Batman.
Mm.
And I guess I can understand that, but to me, it's it's a good launching point for him to become the Batman that people want to see again, since he's been, according to the news clippings, retired for a certain amount of time because of people theorize that this horrible thing happened. So anyway,
yeah.
So that was one of the things I felt like I don't understand why there's so much outcry on that side. And it felt like there were a whole bunch more, but none of them are flowing into my brain at the moment. There's a lot of stuff that happens in that movie. It's a very busy movie.
Very busy. I think it's, to me, that's its one major failing, is that it has so much going on that it's hard to keep track of what exactly is going on.
I can see that.
I will say Wonder Woman was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted a lot more of her in the movie.
Yeah.
That was probably my biggest complaint, is that last fight. I wish there would have been, like, more character actual interaction in the fight instead of explosions and DBZ, like, thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people mention also that it's like, if you're a DBZ fan, you can pick that out. And it's like, oh, that's totally a DBZ moment right there. But if you're not, that stuff doesn't really do anything for you.
Yeah,
it's like, I can't see what's happening.
The visual jokes don't land on that when it comes to that point. The references don't hit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool seeing that, but I would have rather seen more outright, like, fist-to-fist combat. And I can imagine that being a problem when you're fighting something giant or crazy.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how now that we've had several movies that can do those things, looking at like anime or just animation, I'm starting to, for myself, like, I think it fits that style so much better, those types of fights, where now when I see them in film, they're kind of boring. Like, it's like oh, that's impressive, but it's just not exciting. Like, that, like, the most exciting parts for me about that fight was just seeing actually, like, Wonder Woman, like, whoa, live action Wonder Woman, that's cool. But other than that, it's just kind of like, I mean, like, you go back to like the first Avengers, and they did a good job, like, with Hulk. Because that could have turned kind of in that, but they did a solid job of still keeping it like, okay, yeah, that's a, you know, a CGI character, but this giant massive battle that's going on, but they still somehow made it still feel you could still be a part of it and connect it. And it probably was how they edited it, and you know, with shots cutting back to closer shots of people, and they're actually like interacting with each other. Not all the characters, you know, were CGI or that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it might be part of it is that in this movie, everything is so far above humanity in terms of like what it could dish out and take that there's less human to relate to. So it becomes a more difficult stretch to bring these characters put yourself into where these characters are.
It is weird to see Batman kind of being put into the spot of Krillin from DBZ. It's like,
oh man,
I can probably help out around the peripheral here, but I'm mostly going to try and not get killed.
and then they have a nice thing where he can actually help, you know,
right?
You know, but. But yeah, I still though, I mean, I like I said, I still want to see it again, but I still stand though with when they do end up fighting each other, Batman and Superman, I was so disappointed.
Like,
that what they did, I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil it, but it just like ruined the whole moment.
I don't think you're anywhere near alone on that. I think a lot of people were unhappy with how that all went down.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fair amount of general fan outcry about, but honestly, a showdown like that is so hard to A, manufacture, and B, be satisfying after with that. It's like the comics, they can do it because you can, the pages, the illustrations, they can, the bigger than life, like it fits.
I have like ideas and stuff. It's just like, I don't want to say because I don't want to like spoil what happens in it, but it's just like if they had just
Well, you actually have like a little bit of a writing background, and like me personally, I couldn't see much of a way of them doing it other than the way that they did it, and so I was kind of waiting for either that or one of like three other dumb ways for them to make it happen. Mm. And I wasn't happy with any of them. I was mostly just looking forward to the fight. And unfortunately, it kind of pulls the teeth out of the fight also from a certain perspective.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say too, because for me, and I can't speak for everyone, but I think when, you know, you have Superman and Batman and, you know, the classic thing of them fighting, or people, mm-hmm. you know, just a lot of people like sort of that. They like the aspect of those two guys, like, as friends and together, but they also like, you know, that aspect of like, oh, man, if they ever did throw down, you know, like, oh, you know, Superman's, you know, he's got the strength, he's got all these abilities, but, oh, Batman's super smart, and, you know, like, yeah. how could he, you know, it makes your brain start thinking, like, oh, what could he do if this, and, oh, and then you think, oh, but he's got this, and he got to do that, so, but for me, like I said, I can't,
uh-huh.
I always want to root for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's partial because, like, I like Batman more than I like Superman, but mm-hmm. to me, like, if you go with that, mm-hmm. if you spin it on that your audience wants to root, like, they don't want to, like, root for Batman to kill Superman, but they want him to win, like quote unquote kind of win, like, because it goes back to that base of why, like, a lot of people like Batman too, of mm-hmm. he's just a guy, like, who, you know,
with tons of money and tons of training. Stuff.
Yeah, he's not a mutant. He's not an alien. He's mm-hmm. not all these things. So it's fun when, like, hey, that mm-hmm. not he's not the everyday guy, but, you know, it's like, hey, when a normal guy can actually, like, get the upper hand on these things. So mm-hmm. when you take that away, which is what I felt this movie did,
mm-hmm.
it ruined the whole experience for me. It was like, if I can't root for Batman in this,
right?
It ruined you ruined this whole thing for me that you were building up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I can see that.
That's how the direction I think they should have gone with. I think most of the audience is going to be rooting for Batman, so you pitch it that way. You go, yeah, we don't want to see him kill Superman, but we want, like, to root for Batman, but
right.
we can't root for Batman at this. Because you did something really stupid, like, mm-hmm.
And like it's even in the title, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
it's like they're setting it up to it's the Bat taking on the Super.
Yeah,
it's like,
and it goes back to what I said last week too, where I felt like the movie would be better if it went from Batman's perspective. But again, yeah. we could go on for a while. But yeah. it's hard to not talk about it without spoiling things, and we don't want to do that. So mm-hmm.
so before we jump off, like, general impressions, Jason, before we move on to the next thing.
I enjoyed it a ton.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the scale is Jason's at the highest, I'm sort of at the midpoint, you're at the low of our scales.
Yeah, I think so. Well, here's something, though, that should be on the high point of everyone's list.
Oh, what's that?
It's the radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And, of course, we got a pro tip.
If you want to find our station faster, search for our call letters, KSCU. Those are unique to us on the globe.
That's right. And speaking of movies, you guys saw Batman versus Superman. I saw Zootopia.
We went opposite ends of this spectrum yeah. here.
Have any of you guys?
I have not seen it yet. It's on the short list of movies to watch soon.
I've been hearing so many good things about it from everybody that's come across it that I wish I would have caught that one also.
Yeah, it's fun. I wouldn't put it up there with, like, I mean, it's not done by Pixar, but
right.
you know, like, I wouldn't put it up there as good as most Pixar movies, but mm-hmm. it was solid fun. It, you know, mm-hmm. had your laughs, had your cute characters and
right.
clever ideas about, you know, with the whole world. And
is there less crying involved since it isn't a Pixar movie?
yes.
Okay. That's probably more my type of movie.
But yeah, they do a cool thing of basically, like, just to kind of set up the world, is imagine if, instead of, like, well, I guess if animals evolved basically instead of people. Mm-hmm.
In a world where animals are anthropomorphic, but not in a creepy way.
Yeah.
Hey. It's not up to you to decide what's creepy.
Fair point.
But yeah, so.
Animal people.
So, you know.
Geraldo.
Geraldo.
Wow. Going back a few years.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
This is kids. Geraldo was a talk show host way back in the day.
Go look him up on YouTube. Right, yeah. Really
go
awesome.
Talk to your parents.
I guess it's especially weird. I think he's on like Fox News now or something.
Yeah.
It's probably not where people generally want to be.
But anyway.
In California, at least.
But yeah, Zootopia. So that's the world. And they kind of, they play up that idea of like, animals sort of evolving, but like staying the sizes and stuff. So it's not like, like, oh, a mouse evolved. It's still the size of a mouse. Like it didn't get like people size. Ah. So it's playing up with all of those things too. So the world has like places where, because there are small creatures, things are tiny. So
and it makes sense that they're tiny and not just like...
So when you see the other animals going through there, it's kind of funny because you're like, oh, look at these little buildings and little cars and stuff.
So basically everything got smarter.
Now goes Godzilla. That's just a regular rhino.
Yeah. Oh, and your man crush, Idris Elba, does a voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who is he in that one?
Oh. He's the chief of police. No, that's not a spoiler. Yeah. He's the chief of police.
Okay.
But,
cool.
Heck, he's doing a lot of voice stuff now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pretty much sold me on seeing Jungle Book.
Yeah. Yes. Excellent.
But yeah, it's fun. It's you if you cool. You know if you saw the trailer and thought it looked interesting, I think you'll enjoy it.
It looks like it was. It's a nice kind of return to form for some of Disney animation stuff. Like, they're doing clever things, they're doing inventive things, they're doing solid, likable characters and stories.
Yeah, yeah,
cool.
Yeah, the first thing that I saw of it was the new Shakira video. Have you seen it? And you haven't? No, I guess not.
No.
Okay. I'm kind of wondering if it's the same thing they play at the end of the movie. Is it like
might be
dancing tigers or?
Yeah.
In like shorts or something.
Yeah,
like.
It's like Tiger Chippendales.
Yeah.
dancing around Shakira as a Giselle, I think.
Yeah, Gazelle.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. They play it. It sounds like it's the same thing. Yeah, they play it at the end of the movie.
Okay. I remember like one of the things like drew me in. I was already kind of sold on the trailers, but like. They did some really clever social media work, and one of the things they did is they released a whole bunch of like kind of like fake posters from the world, and one of them was Lady Baba, and it was this sheep done up like Lady Gaga. I was like dying of laughter and like cheering at the same time. I'm like, this is great. I can't wait
to
see this.
Yeah, it's worth. I mean, I would say if you didn't catch it in theaters, like I didn't see it in 3D or anything like that. Like if you don't catch it in theaters, like it's okay. You could, you could probably
it's
wait
more story
for,
based.
You could probably wait for Blu-ray or something like that. But you know, if you want to see it in the theaters, it's still fun.
Okay. But, you know. I'll skip it on IMAX then.
Yeah. That's probably not necessary. I mean, unless you were like, no, I only see movies in IMAX.
I only see movies for $40 a pop.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
why I don't see many movies.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's the truth.
Speaking of animals.
What's that?
If you're an animal lover and wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Uh-huh. So, anything else?
I know this one is probably going to be one that's not going to probably resonate as much with you guys, but I've been a huge fan of a series that... I believe it popped up on the Amazon Instant.
Mm-hmm.
The I was pretty hooked with the first season, and I enjoyed the second season maybe like a third more. But that's a series called Bosch. It's trying to be an LA detective noir type of show, and I feel like it, in this day and age, it's really difficult to do that because there's a ton of tropes and traps that things can fall into, and some of them are unavoidable. So it, in order to have that style of character function in society, but for the most part, I really enjoy this one because it doesn't completely minimize all of the characters other than the main character, and I felt like the main character was a little bit more compelling than a lot of them are. Anyway, part of it too is just a lot of fun seeing somebody who's been relegated to like a side character that you could tell was a good actor like have a chance to be this in the center stage. I always enjoy seeing that and seeing somebody actually really succeed in that, because the guy who plays it was like a sidekick in the Deadwood series and a bunch of other similar things. He popped up as like a former S.H.I.E.L.D. guy in one of the more recent episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
So yeah, he almost always plays a bad guy, and so it's nice seeing him as a hero character for once too.
There you go.
So yeah, I personally really recommend it, and I thought it was pretty cool.
He also plays in the Xfinity Comcast like work internet commercials.
Okay.
So if you've seen those.
I haven't. I'll have to look for him. Is he a hero character in that?
I guess if you look at it as he's bringing internet to workplace.
Okay. Improving your work life. So you spend less time yelling at your screen?
There you go.
Is that a hero?
And it's funny, too, because another person pops up in that. I can never remember his name, but I... from the Wing Commander movie and
wow, that's going back.
Yeah, I know. he grew up playing like a complete and total joker in like every single movie. She's All That. He plays like the kind of slimy reality TV star.
Huh.
Oh, crud. I can't remember his name.
Not Matthew Lillard?
Freddie yes, Prince. Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, okay.
Anyway, it's really interesting seeing him in his more modern roles because he's actually pretty decent. I really enjoy him a lot. And so he plays a similarly slimy character, but there's enough depth to it that it seems realistic in this instead of... just some weird...
just some guy going, hey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. I would have never expected like one of the high points of anything to be Matthew Lillard.
His portrayal as Shaggy was not going to...
Come on.
You know,
come on, Scoop.
Maybe he learned so much from that. I mean, sometimes you have to start from the bottom and build yourself up.
Scoob, you gotta get the Scoob
snacks. Start at the Wing Commander.
Yep.
Right.
You build your way
well, no,
up.
That was the problem. He was starting at the middle there. Okay. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, if you've watched any of the things that we mentioned or not, if you did something else exciting since the last time we were on, we'd love to hear about it.
Yes,
Caleb,
please.
Tell them how they can do that again.
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those are up in the background. We keep an eye on them. We may not get to it the moment it comes through, but we will get to it throughout the show.
We promise. All right. We're going to take a music break and then we'll come back with the watch party.
Yes.
First episode of season 2 of Daredevil.
I'm excited. Goodness. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited. Interesting. It's going to be interesting to talk about this. All right. We'll be back with that and more after the music break here on KCU Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We're now going to start our new watch party.
Watch party!
That's right. If you're unfamiliar with our watch party, well, what we do is we pick, so far we've been shows, like we each got to pick something. We take a die, we roll it, and whoever gets the higher number gets the pick. And so far we did three animes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've moved past animes for now.
For now.
We may go back, but you know, we wanted to do something a little different because not everyone's into anime. And we want people to participate on it. That's the whole point. The watch party, you watch it with us. So
it's
we decided, that's right. And party's fun. It's a fun party.
It's more fun when there's more people.
That's right. And so we decided, you know, it fit relatively around when we were kind of coming back and starting up the new session again. And that was the second season of Daredevil.
Woohoo!
And so, you know, thought that would fit. And, you know, we all enjoyed the first season. And so we said, yeah, let's do the second season. We'll watch it together. And discuss it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about episode one. We're going to spoil the hell out of it.
Yes.
So apologies in advance if you
don't
want to
know about it,
in.
Skip ahead.
But but that's the whole point of the watch party. We're going to watch, like, next week we'll discuss episode two. So we're going to go chronologically and then, you know, discuss the episode and everything like that. And so you want to watch it with us, that way, you know, you don't have to worry about spoilers and stuff. You've watched it and you can participate. You can tell us what you thought, if you liked it, didn't like it, you know, foreshadow, that sort of thing. Like, oh, what do you think is going to happen? But yeah, so let's get into this episode one of the second season of Daredevil.
Daredevil. For one, it was kind of funny going from Batman v Superman to Daredevil, because you have demigods. It's a street crime. It's a bit of a jump, but it was, I thought it was a refreshing palate cleanser. But that said, like, the Daredevil show does not pull punches. I like that like, they kind of just drop you into it, and, like, it starts off, I like the way that it starts with humanity. It starts with Foggy and Matt talking, and then you quickly ramp up into action again, and The Punisher seems very dangerous, even though you only get glimpses of him.
Yeah,
but it is kind of fun, like, seeing him toe up against or step up to Daredevil, because, like, they are a good match for, like, to be, like, opponents in this storyline, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
I honestly didn't expect. I mean, this is cutting very deep into it, but I didn't expect the fist fight between the two of them to go so far towards Punisher. I didn't expect him to be able to hold up against Daredevil. I thought that was interesting. I would have expected that he would have leveraged gunplay a lot more in order to throw Daredevil off, but it looks like he's just straight up a match for him.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what ends up being his backstory. I mean, the fight sort of starts off with gunplay.
Yeah.
Daredevil, you know, blocking the shots and stuff like that. But but yeah, it's weird. This is going to sound strange, but this episode, and I'm curious to see how the rest of the season, if it follows this, this felt very comic booky, this episode, to me. Like, just the feel and the tone of it. Like, it's weird, like, saying that, because you're like, well, it's based off of a comic book. But from having not watched the first season in a while, but like, seeing, like, Jessica Jones and, you know, just kind of going back to what I could pretty certain what I remember from the first season of Daredevil, with both of those shows, they really tried to push a lot more, like, realism with it. And this felt like, not that they were disregarding realism completely, but it felt very comic booky, like, from all the, like, Irish gang and all the mobs and the biker gang. It was like, did someone watch Sons of Anarchy? And that, okay, let's get a biker gang in here. Like, all right, which like mob group hasn't been used in a while. An Irish mob? All right, an Irish mob. Like it felt not in a bad way, but just it felt very comic booky compared to the first season. So it was mm-hmm. it was strange. I was watching, I was like, this feels different. Like
the setup I can understand that. And to me it felt a little bit more organic just because it would be all of the second string, like big groups of villains.
Oh, yeah,
that were left over.
Yeah,
after the events of the first season.
I mean, they explain that. It just yeah. When I'm watching it, it really felt like
yeah. It's a it much different like a tone.
This really feels like a comic book show where the mm-hmm. others were seemed like they were trying to not shy away from that, but like make you think like. This isn't your normal comic book show.
Yeah, this one embraced its comic bookness a little bit more in the open, and to me, it was like the establishing shot at the very beginning of the episode, where it's like panning over the city and like all the different sounds.
Yeah,
and
he's like, listening,
and like every single thing has been color graded. Like the colors have all been changed.
Mm.
Not a single building is painted like it's supposed to be, like in terms of light coloring, and. When you do things like that, it definitely changes the tone of that you're setting, because
mm-hmm.
that's like, because like Dick Tracy did the same thing as in the old Warren Beatty movie. Like they went back and they color corrected every single frame, so all the yellows are the exact same. And like this city and this opening scene has a similar thing. Like there's this certain sheen color that is on all the windows. All the lights have a certain tint to them in the darkness.
Uh huh.
It just pushes that style card get played real early and mm-hmm. pushed forward real hard.
Yeah.
And that tends to... I think that might also lead into that comic book feel, because it's like it's high on... The style is now at the forefront.
Well, the Irish mob is definitely a big thing, too. It seems like it was used a lot heavier in comics in general than a lot of other places. I think it softened the blow for me just because I've ended up seeing in the last few years, they've tried to start up some Irish mob shows that had some pretty good heavy hitters as far as acting goes, but they never really got any traction.
Mm.
I think just because people aren't as interested, it's not really part of the current zeitgeist, I guess. That people,
which is interesting, because Peaky Blinders is effectively is one of those shows, and it's doing.
But that's
quite
way
well.
Back. That's right. Or
oh yeah, yeah. It's between, it happens between World War One and World War Two.
Yeah, that's a different atmosphere.
True enough.
Although,
but I'm talking about more the modern type, like trying to fit the Irish mob into a modern setting can be tricky in a lot of stuff.
And then we'll see really like how much of a factor they do actually play, because they like they do a bait and switch. You're like, oh, I guess these are going to be kind of some of the big guys. Nope, they're all gunned down.
Yeah. Well, because that and like the Mexican drug cartels too, that was going to be like, oh, wow, they're going to set up like a big fight with that. No, they're basically just the armory for Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I suspect... There'll still probably be some of them, but it seemed like since, but yeah. And then I'm curious too, how they're going to play up, like if they're going to play up like the Punisher as the villain,
mm-hmm.
like throughout the entire thing, or if it's going to be something where it's like, he's kind of the villain for a good chunk. And then it slowly switches over to some other thing.
My understanding is that the first half of the series is kind of his series, and the second half is Elektra's.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I could sort of see that.
That's cool.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that was interesting when the mob leader was talking. He's like, and no one's heard from the Yakuza in weeks or months. Like, they're all gone.
Yeah.
It's like, you say that now, but...
But yeah, just... But from just like sticking with just this episode,
yeah,
and no other outside sources.
Well,
it makes
that
you.
First episode.
I know. I'm referring more to what Jason mentioned.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see how it plays, and the other factor of like, he's like, you could kind of. I mean, that argument. I mean, I know mm-hmm. they're gonna play up that argument of like, well, he's. Killing like really bad people, so
mm-hmm.
like, is that a bad thing? You know, it's like how it'll be interesting how they end up playing up that aspect of
right.
like, well, I kind of want to root for the Punisher. Like, you know, like, yeah. Are they going to want you to root for him, or are they going to kind of, you know, like, make it so you're like, no, what he's doing, it's wrong. Like, mm-hmm. here's, you know, they could have several choices of how they want. Do they want the audience, like, to just be from, you know, mm-hmm. Daredevil Matt Murdock's perspective, or do they want to play both sides and have the audience, like, torn kind of thing? Like,
so far, yeah. I'm thinking they're pushing more towards trying to make you sympathize with Murdock a little bit more, just because it's arguable whether every single person in that initial room with all the mobsters, I mean, are they all killers, every last one of them?
No.
And especially since that's part of the plot, is one of them survives and he's like, you know, I've done some horrible things, but I'm nothing like the rest of these guys. Yeah. I'm not sure I really deserve to be like gunned down personally, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, whether he's actually on the up and up or what. I mean, he admittedly is a bad guy. But just by the information that we have so far in this episode, it seems like they're pushing more towards, nah, this is definitely bad.
It's definitely, it's a harsh
shade. Yeah, yeah, it's a shade of bad that people probably will accept a little bit more readily, but it's definitely bad so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely... and that's one of the things that makes the Punisher kind of an interesting character, in that, like, every aspect of that character is harsh. There's no soft edge to Frank Castle as a character, at least as the Punisher. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, since he's, like, sort of he has a fixed moral compass, and the deviation from that is where he drops the hammer on you, and that's kind of...
Well, like, it's funny, like, yeah, I know it's a play on words, that. But... Mm-hmm. For me to do, but like you mentioned, he has a fixed moral compass. To me, what's interesting about the character is that he is completely broken. He doesn't have anything left to hold him together anymore. And that's where they kind of toy with you in a lot of the movies, like, oh, maybe this person will fix him or whatever. It's like, I mean, that's technically not cool in a lot of ways, but still, I mean, it ends up being this very tempting thing, like, oh, well, maybe he has a chance.
Yeah.
And but no, he's pretty broken.
Mm-hmm. And of course, too, like, we are also implied, like, taking from other sources of the Punisher.
Implying it to this guy. It'll
be curious to see, you know, this series sort of interpretation of the Punisher.
Like, the other thing that I sort of wonder is if he's going to have anything to do with, and this will probably be moderate spoilers for you, but when they talked about all of the military stuff in Jessica Jones, I wonder if he's going to have anything to do with that stuff.
Oh, even like then that drug and stuff like that.
Or at least have been in the fringes or initial test phases of it or something like that. Because I can see that putting him in a place where he could be a melee guy on Daredevil's in his ranks pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I did like that they clearly showed that, like, he's capable. Probably not as skilled, like, martial arts or something, because he was missing a lot of punches.
That's true.
But it was like when he connected, or, you know, he was able, like, you could tell he had some sort of training, but it was nice to see that he clearly wasn't like a ninja or something, because he was missing a lot. He was getting hit a lot, but he was just...
Yeah, he was
taking tough. It and he was throwing it back as hard as he was getting it.
Yeah, to me it seemed like the main reason why he kind of had the upper hand, a lot of it was that he was tough and, like, just outright more fierce than Daredevil was.
Yeah, you could probably tell that maybe Daredevil was holding back a little bit just because he's like,
that's true.
You know, he's the hero, quote unquote, or like, I want to, you know, find
it's
out
Batman
stuff
v
about
Superman.
Them. Yeah. Whereas, like, the Punisher is just, no, you know, there's no reason for him to hold back. He's just like,
you're in my way. I'm the unstoppable force. You need to move.
Mm-hmm.
It is. What do you think of, too, of, like, they, the way they shot it too, of like, you never really see him until that last shot when he actually says,
yeah,
which is like bang or something. Or what, yeah, what was this?
That was pretty cool. I like that.
And you see him too. He's like, is bloody and everything like that. He's not.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that, because when the faceless villain is always a little bit scarier for a while. You can't like play that card too hard.
Yeah,
but it was nice. It's like then he really gives him that unmovable, unstoppable force. Like he will just keep going. You don't know, like he's going gunzerk through a hospital. That's not the actions of a normal human being.
They kind of lost me on that, I'll be honest. Because, okay, as screwed up as he is, I've never seen a version of the Punisher where he would risk using a shotgun in a hospital. That seemed weird to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, a shotgun is a pretty indiscriminate weapon.
Yeah. Before we get any further, let's...
Before we get any further, you might want to see a spectacular showcase of classic cars, custom motorcycles, and magnificent military aircraft at the Pacific Coast Dream Machines Show, Sunday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Half Moon Bay Airport. For more information, call 650-726-2328 or visit MiramarEvents.com. Miramar Events is all one word.
But yeah, going back to the shotgun thing too. Yeah, I was thrown off in the sense of like, if he's going after that guy, I was like, that doesn't seem like a very effective like weapon of choice to go in there to take that guy out. It was just like kind of snub nose shotgun kind of shorter rate. Like I could see,
yeah,
I could see like if he just walked in, bam, he could just get the guy in the bed, but.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he kind of thought of like, if the guy like kind of gets away, that's not a very good weapon for like trying to shoot from a distance.
Yeah.
But I guess that's why he had that sniper rifle ready.
Mm-hmm. On the roof, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe that's part of the argument too. Maybe he was just using the shotgun to create enough of a ruckus that then he could go take the shot that he really meant to.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And that's an aspect of the Punisher, Frank Castle character, that is occasionally played up more, is that he does have a strategic side to him. He's not just guns blazing through the every scene he's in.
But yeah, so, a lot of those shotgun shots, it was like, oh, that was a nurse, like right there.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know if you would have done that.
But yeah.
Not my Punisher.
Not the Punisher I know from comics and movies.
Right.
I wonder too, like, I thought it was interesting too, going back to like, their practice,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when they got to their office, of like, they got a lot of, you know, customers, clientele and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excuse me.
But they're like, it's still emphasized, even though like, they got the kingpin and all this. It's like they're still broke. Like they're
they're still on the seedy side of Hell's Kitchen, trying to help the downtrodden who can't actually pay them.
Yeah, it's like they got all this fame, but it seemed like all that fame was like, hey, you help out people who really can't, you know, like can't afford for help. So it's like they got a whole bunch of more people that way, but they're definitely still.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the light side of the coin of the Better Call Saul series. It's really interesting to see. It's like, yeah, these are similarly like, I'm in a real fix here, except it's all the good guys versus the bad guys in each of these situations. And the bad guys generally have more money to throw
generally
at a lawyer.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see how... Foggy and Karen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think so. Yeah.
What their characters end up being in this? Because now it's like Foggy knows he's Daredevil. Uh-huh. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, is that something, you know, you think like, oh, maybe she's gonna end up finding out, like that's gonna be
probably
something.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, plus there's also the fact that we still know that she's the only person that took care of Wesley.
Yeah. Yeah.
season one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they play up that little bit of her, you know, like, she's like, oh, you're just this like little skinny girl, or like, no, I'm actually like,
you have no idea about me.
Yeah, like, no, I've actually done some stuff that
I have a spine. It works just fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why, like, she hasn't hit me quite right yet. I feel like it's the type of character that I should be like, hey, she's really cool. But I don't know why.
Mm.
I like Foggy a lot. I think he's pretty cool. But it's funny, I don't think he plays much different of a character than he's played in any other friendship role that he's ever done. But I've liked all of those characters a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's just start to finish a very likable person, it seems like. It'd be funny, like, if in real life he's like, oh, I hate that guy. Man, he's so good at making you think that he'd be, like, really, like, a good guy. But, man, when he twists that knife.
Yeah, it was, we pulled up the show, Elaine and I, and we were all watching, like, oh, it's the Pollux from Hunger Games again, but now he can talk. He's just so likable. Even when he can't speak, you know he's a likable guy.
Yeah, I think too. I think he was in Mighty Ducks also. So
yeah, well, it's funny too. Like I already mentioned, what was it?
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, the movie with Matthew Lillard earlier. Mm-hmm. Like She's the One. Is that it? No.
She's All That.
She's All That. He's in that, too, as, like, the friend. The exact same character, practically, except, like, way young. His face looks exactly the same.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would say, even though I said, like, it's definitely a very different style, which I wonder, too, since I think it's got a different showrunner this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
don't know why I always think of somebody actually running anytime I hear that. It's like, why are they running?
Quick, run the show,
You think with all of the technology these days.
But yeah, I'm definitely down to see more and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Although it is interesting. I don't know if maybe I just missed all of it, and maybe because of all the Batman versus Superman talk, it seems like this had, like, it came out and then sort of just died. Like, I don't hear a lot of people talk about it as much as, like, the first season. Like, when the first season came out, it was like, there was still a lot of talk even afterwards. Like, this seemed like, I mean, it didn't come out that long ago.
I think a decent chunk of that is that even within its space, since that came out, all of the different streaming companies or streaming services have really, really nailed down, like, their own productions. And so it probably gets lost even in its own schedule to a certain extent.
Yeah. And being it's on Netflix and you can have the entire season effectively in one go if you're really dedicated. But, like, you can burn through the show really quick.
Everybody has already binged on it.
Yeah, it's longevity for hype is a little bit different than like a movie, like a major motion picture, which is in theaters for several weeks, several months, depending on its success. But at the same time, like its rating is always exceedingly high, so I don't think it's wanting for quality or for fans. The hype train for it is chugging really hard on a lot of other things too, like we got Guardians Volume 2 and all the other stuff, superhero stuff. So it's
got a lot to
work with. Yeah, compete with it. I'm obviously on board. I think this is currently one of my favorite Marvel things going right now is the Daredevil stuff, because I like that it's a little more contained than some of the other storylines have gone. It's like, yeah, we're not saving the universe. We're just saving our little corner of New York.
Mm.
And that's a refreshing change of pace.
I will say that show just in general has given a lot more meaning to when I'm playing The Division in Hell's Kitchen. I'm constantly looking for any sign of something like Marvel related going down in that area.
it would be kind of cool, like if at some point just like you saw like the double D like spray painted.
I'm
someplace.
Sure something is somewhere in that. They have tons of each Easter eggs in that game.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But yeah. So far, I haven't seen anything myself, and that was kind of disappointing since it was the first zone that I cleared everything out of.
Yeah, who knows? Be curious to see how like some of the, since the Division has such strong New York ties, like you're literally like walking and learning how to navigate New York by playing the game. When I'm geeks, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been over there and over there. That building was a little bit more run down when I looked at it last time.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's...
But yeah.
I think the first Daredevil, episode yeah. of our watch party of Daredevil Season 2, Episode 1. So, yeah. Tell us your thoughts. Did you like the first episode?
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope, you know, it's going to happen? And, yeah, participate with us, because next week we'll talk about Episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
You can interact with us, send us your thoughts and feelings at facebook.com/robotsattackshow. That's all one phrase. Or twitter.com/robotsattackme, also one phrase.
That's right. Okay, we will take a quick music break. And speaking of music and streaming, Want to listen to KCU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at kcu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. Never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
You can find our station faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a quick music break and then come back with some new releases and the news.
Yay! All right.
More Robots Attack here on KSCU, Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. We're going to jump into some new releases. I'm going to start us off with some dropping in the theater. We've got The Boss. We've got our Hardcore Henry. It's the first person one, if you've seen any of the trailers for it. So, you know, maybe you might get a headache. There's Demolition. And there's Louder Than Bombs.
Goodness. All right. So from big screen movies to smaller screen movies, just smaller. You might want to see some Blu-ray and DVD. There's The Hollow, which is about a family that goes to Ireland and has to fight an ancient evil in their nearby woods.
Ooh.
Then there's Riots, about a crime lord who operates his organization from the comfort of jail. And the cop that's going in to take him out. Then there's The Von Trapp Family, A Life of Music, which actually is based on the memoirs of Agatha, the oldest Von Trapp daughter, and it covers time before the war, times before the Sound of Music events and afterwards. So Ooh. It's kind of a broader view there. And there's also this little thing called the Star Wars The Force Awakens on Blu-ray and DVD. You know, as
never heard of it.
It's a movie that needs almost no introduction or summary, and it's the latest Star Wars film you can own. So you can bring Kylo Ren, Finn, Poe, and BB-8 home with you and watch it again. You know, like for like the 18th time.
That almost rhymed. That was just impressive. Okay, Your tongue tied is getting transferred over to me.
Nah.
Okay, meanwhile, in the world of video games, we have Quantum Break coming out on the 5th for Xbox One and PC. It's gotten some pretty decent reviews, but some people are pretty hesitant about it, too. So, mostly pretty decent reviews, though. Next up, we have one called Dead Star, exclusive for the PS4, coming on the 5th as well. It's kind of an interesting take on the normal top-down shooter spacecraft type thingy, because they added some RPG-like enhancement elements to it.
Huh.
So a little bit of MMO also, which I would have never expected to work in that, but I've heard interesting things so far.
Sounds like fun.
Next up, we have Star Wars Battlefront Outer Rim. Everybody, of course, has been interested in that, just for more content for that game, period.
Mm-hmm.
Next
mm-hmm.
up, we have Enter the Gungeon. For now, it's also...
you pronounced that correctly? Gungeon?
Gungeon.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, not Gungan. It's not another Star Wars thing.
Who's going into the dungeon?
It's coming out on PS4. I'm going to include a link to the trailer for it, mostly because it's really coolly animated, and it's kind of funny. Next up, we have one called Lovely Planet. If you're familiar with the name, it's been around for a lot of different services, but it's coming to PS4 finally. Thankfully, it's been on Xbox One for a long time. Yay.
Yay.
Anyway, gotta twist the knife every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a really interesting take on a first-person shooter because it's kind of Katamari Damacy meets first-person shooting as far as style.
Oh, okay.
You don't roll anything, but you do shoot things. But anyway, I think you get kind of the idea of it.
Okay. I'm with you.
Next up, we have one called Stickbold, Dodgeball Adventure. It kind of looks like if somebody took a Minecraft-type style of animation and turned it into a pretty nifty versus dodgeball game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, kind of interesting point is that they have added sort of MMO elements to it. I would have never expected something in that genre.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting. Finally, a bunch of people have been waiting for the HTC Vive to come out, and that has come with a whole host of its version of video games, including The Gallery, The Call of Starseed, Elite Dangerous, Tilt Brush, and Job Simulator, just to name a few.
Very cool. From the video games, we jump to comic books. With Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad, April Fool's Special, number one. Harleen Quinzel is holding group therapy, but the therapy might be going the other way around. Marvel is releasing a new Black Panther series. Their number one is coming out this week. It's got some big hitters in terms of creative team. Then at Dark Horse, it's Predator Life and Death, Colonial Marines versus Predators. What more could you want? From Image, speaking of The Walking Dead, it's a new Walking Dead.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. From IDW, there's a new My Little Ponies, Friendship is Forever, where Pinkie Pie has to take care of Grandma. And then our fine friends over at Wow Cool have a few that they think you should check out, too. There is Chainmail Bikini, Anthology of Women Gamers. Then there is Dark Quarter number 7. Amazing Forest, number 4. Giant Day, number 13. Prophet, Earth War, 3. Mm. And Providence, 8.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Wrap us up with music. We've got Love Streams by Tim Hecker. We've got Human Performance by Parquet Courts. We've got Painting of a Panic Attack by Frightened Rabbit. Junk by M83. All right. It's a sample of some new releases. Now I think it's time to step into...
news.
That's right. Let's news them.
Right.
Okay, first up, we have the big screen version of Speedy Gonzales is apparently in the works.
What?
That was kind of my thing, too. Yeah, it's apparently been one of those things that has been on the slate for a long time. And this link doesn't work. Anyway, yeah, it's always been kind of interesting just because it's been kind of a sticking point for a lot of people as far as negative representation and stereotypes and so on. Mm. But on the other hand, it's actually very much beloved by the people being stereotyped. So it actually sort of works out. It'll be really interesting to see, and I'll probably buy a ticket myself.
I would not have expected a big screen Speedy Gonzales. Of all the comic cartoon things to be transitioned to the big screen. That was definitely not
CGI or 2D, or what would you?
You know, I don't know for sure. I do know that the name right now, so far, is being they're sticking with just the name Speedy as the name of the movie.
Okay.
What do you think they should do?
I'd rather have 2D personally, but I can imagine 3D being the more lucrative option in this day and age.
Yeah, it's hard to not make him 3D anymore. Let's see.
Well, I meant more like CGI. I mean, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
To be fair, yes, CGI 3D. Recently, I came across a story that was about how science is not a destination. Science is a journey.
No, it's not.
Shush. This time, it was about a 20-year journey to create a new type of
Star Trek.
No, cancer treatment using nanoparticles. And
nanos.
Yes, the way this one works is they construct the toxin for killing the cancerous cell.
Okay.
But they break it up into little pieces and they put it onto these little nanoparticles that get absorbed by the cancer cells themselves. And the way they're designed, they actually tell the cancer cell, put me together. So the cancer cell puts together the toxin which takes care of which kills the cancer cell. So the cancer cells are effectively committing suicide.
Tricky, tricky, tricky.
And like hearing the
man, and all from a ground up Apple product.
Bonk. The interview that I heard with the main primary researcher on this was talking about it, and you could tell he was like super excited about this, as we all should be, because it's the early stages of the trials show that when this particular treatment is used, the cancer is completely eradicated. Completely eradicated. On the off chance, on the patients where it doesn't actually eradicate the cancer, it extends their life by years. Usually when medications apply to cancer, it is to extend by weeks, by months. This one will actually extend by years. So this is all sorts of exciting news. They're pushing it into, they're angling for clinical trials soon so they can actually bring it to market as quickly as possible, because Lord knows we need some better ways to fight cancer.
Yeah.
I don't feel like my Speedy Gonzales news was as important anymore.
Well, speaking of Speedy Gonzales.
Okay.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So see, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Your Speedy Gonzales helped transition into a way to help animals. So
yeah.
See?
Nice.
There you go. So, you know, there's been a lot of hoopla about the Batman versus Superman
mm-hmm.
not being fun or like
you kind
know,
of a mess
all,
or
that,
what have you.
All that stuff. So there's been reports that maybe Warner Brothers is spending millions on Suicide Squad reshoots to make it funnier.
Yep.
Yeah, according to the story, Warner Brothers is currently spending tens of millions of dollars to reshoot dozens of scenes for its upcoming superhero film, Suicide Squad. According to birth.movies.net, the studio is reportedly revisiting the film to add more lightheartedness to the feature and add in a few more jokes. According to the site, after the studio saw the positive reaction the trailer got, a trailer that made the movie seem much funnier than it actually was at the time, Warner Brothers ordered script rewrites and scheduled time with the cast and crew to reshoot. The goal of the reshoots is to make the film more fun for audience and make the characters more appealing. In doing so, there won't be just additional jokes added to the movie, but the interactions between characters will be slightly goofier at times. Most importantly, however, is that the movie won't take itself as seriously as the recently released Batman vs. Superman. Despite the reshoots, they still plan to have the movie released for August 5th. So,
wow.
So yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Like,
it's scary.
Yeah, because on the one hand, you think like they had that really awesome trailer mm-hmm. with the Queen song,
right?
And but if they're saying that like that trailer was slightly misleading,
yeah,
then maybe it is a good thing they're doing, because if it isn't kind of like
it makes it sound like the first kind of trailer that nobody really liked was the more accurate trailer.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Like normally I'd say like, no, don't do that just because people complained about Batman versus Superman. But
yeah,
if they do actually cite that the movie isn't really like that cool trailer they made, maybe it's a good thing.
Probably should reconsider it a little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm really torn on
compromise
this,
your artistic vision, sir.
Yeah,
because it's torn. No good. Because I like Queen videos. Okay, next up we have more comic book goodness with the wrap of the Doctor Strange movie.
Doctor what?
Strange.
Doctor Who?
He's got the power of the Strange. I don't. Wait, is that a thing? Okay. So, not only is it cool that they wrapped up the movie, or at least in theory, because I'm not a huge Doctor Strange fan. Mostly, I'm doing this for you because I knew that you'd like this, Caleb.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. The kind of neat thing about it, though, is that the entire cast, after they finished, cast and crew, well, not the entire, but the director and the principal actors, went out to a comic book store, like, right after finishing, which meant that Cumberbatch was still in his full costume, so looking awesome. Through Doctor Strange comics. And they took the time to tweet a whole bunch of images of them being complete and total dorks in the comics shop. It's pretty good.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is so very good.
I can imagine, too, some people just like, oh, man, what? Like not realizing, like, who it is. You know?
Right.
It's like, what?
That
guy
totally
guy?
Thinks he's Cumberpatch. Oh,
what a dork. He, like, dressed up all... Near just to pick up his comics, like wow.
Yeah, that would be the best. Man, this guy's a really big Doctor Strange fan. Like,
yeah,
dang.
Come back and read it later. Holy crap, that was Cumberbottom Batch.
Right.
Well, speaking of things that are kind of out of this world, NASA is actually doing something for this world beyond just trying to get things off of it, which is what it's famous for. Famous for, you know, getting the rockets to the moon and all that, and all the other good, amazing space things they do. But they aren't just worried about space. They're also worried about aerospace. Currently, they have been working...
The show, The Arrow?
No, not Arrowverse, Arrowspace.
Are they doing... Oh, okay. So there's not going to be an episode of that in space?
I guarantee nothing on that front. That show goes to a lot of places. But no, NASA has been working with several... major plane manufacturers, one of which is Boeing, and they have been working on a new wing design which could potentially cut emissions by commercial aircraft by 50%.
Whoa.
And
that's a big amount.
Yes, it is. And that's generally for more of the older planes. For some of the newer ones that have like more modern technology built onto them, it's still going to save around a little bit less than 10%, somewhere between 4% and 8%.
Oh, okay.
But
okay. So what is the major shift? What makes this work?
The wings are lighter and wider, and they have a support strut which holds them up. And the expanded wing space cuts down on drag and it increases lift. So you need less energy to get off the ground. You need less energy to stay in the air, and therefore you save more fuel doing all of the above.
That's interesting. I would have thought the strut would just ruin all of that, but hey.
Yeah, you would think.
More power to you, strut.
If the strut is also part of the lifting body, that might be part help with it as well. So
I guess.
Who knows? But still, very cool. Above.
Do you even lift, bra?
In the space and on the and within the atmosphere. It's NASA's helping us out. It's cool.
Oh man, I wish I had that song queued up. The Love to Watch Her Strut song. Well, speaking of loving to watch someone strut, If you were a fan of Ripley's Alien Stomper sneakers in the
I am
Aliens films, well, like the Back to the Future shoes, they're getting released into the real world.
Sweet. For yeah. men too?
I think so. They look unisex. According to the picture, like, I don't see why.
Okay.
I mean, unless they just don't do men's sizes, but it would
that would be weird. That'd be weird.
That's.
I don't think they'd want to, like, fracture the market. Like, we could sell.
Yeah,
to
fracturing
everyone.
Is bad.
But
mostly
yeah,
because I want them
to properly celebrate the 30th anniversary of James Cameron's iconic sci-fi film Aliens. Reebok is making Sigourney Weaver shoes available for fans to purchase. Like I mentioned, similar to what Nike did for the anniversary of Back to the Future in October, the retro funky looking sneakers will go on sale April 26th. So mark that calendar, Jason. The day which was chosen because of the planet LV-426 has officially been dubbed as Alien Day, according to a press release.
Huh. Okay.
So, you know, you got your N7 day, you know, November 7th for Mass Effect. You got your May the 4th for Star Wars. So now you got your LV-426, so 426 for your aliens.
There you go. Day.
There you go. So fans look... Oh, and... To kind of go a little bit of history on the Alien Stompers, they were created specifically for Weaver's character, Ripley, in the film, and were made available to the public for a limited time after it was released in 1986. This time around, however, more pairs will be released, both online and in select Reebok stores. I had no idea there were actual Reebok stores. learned something new.
They're all over the place. They're like Starbucks.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. Need to get your eyes checked, dude.
Yeah, I do. up my contact prescription. Fans looking for something a little less attention grabbing can also pick up the mid tops worn by Lance Henriksen's Bishop.
Ooh.
There you go. Reebok hasn't released the prices for either pair of shoe, but chances are these might set you back a pretty penny. So yeah, there you go. You can get probably not really what you'd think when someone conjures up aliens in an anniversary, but shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There so you could get those shoes. You could play Alien. What was the game called?
Alien versus Predator. Oh, Alien Isolation.
Alien Isolation. While you're wearing those shoes,
not Alien Colonial Marines.
I guess
you could play that one too if you felt so inclined.
But this would make you feel. You know, you just feel that retro style.
So. I'd actually heard a thing saying that a modder supposedly fixed that game, and I don't know.
I would believe it.
How that would be done, but
well, with enough dedication.
I want to believe I'm like totally X-filing it.
All right, so one more story and then I'll wrap us up with this day in history.
Do you like your story?
I like my story.
Go for it.
All right, so we've heard of the phrase quantum computing, and
have we?
There's a lot of questions about what it is, how does it work,
what is it,
and
how
what
does it,
work? It actually do?
What's it actually do?
Well, in this case, it does the mind-numbingly powerful calculation that is the factoring of the number 15. If that
is
seems
that a problem?
No, but there's not really much of a solution. There's only two solutions.
Okay.
But what makes it
is
interesting...
Is one permanent?
Both of them are permanent.
Okay.
I apologize. What makes this interesting still, even though like factoring 15 isn't that difficult, we can... If you remember your grade school math, you can do this. But why this is cool is that they did the calculation using five atoms. The five pieces that are part of the fundamental building blocks of matter on Earth, five of them together created a computing processor with enough power to do this. Now,
that's creepy.
This is...
I'm afraid of this.
Yeah. The If this doesn't sound like much, it's like, yeah, this is the beginnings. This is how it starts. As we add more atoms, the ability to compute creates expands exponentially, almost, I believe, if I'm reading this correctly. Because what it does is it will in... Because the quantum bit can be in position besides 1 or 0. It's not binary. It can be 1.5. Or 2.36, it can have states beyond just on or off, which is really cool, and it allows for much more advanced calculations much more quickly. So while right now the factoring 15 is not much, it will get better.
Does that make it easier or more difficult to program for?
Yet to be determined.
Okay.
The machines themselves are so bizarre that how we actually deal with it is going to be.
So we need to build machines to understand how to speak to these machines. Is that what I'm understanding?
Mm-hmm. Almost. Okay. Right now they're using like effectively linear accelerators to create the atoms enough to create the processing power. So it's still a long way off from being practical, but as we add it,
baby steps,
and it will grow quickly. I think
like two of those linear accelerator things.
Rubber bands attached to rulers don't count.
Even if I name them?
Yes, even if you name them.
Okay.
Well, here's some baby steps from history.
Mm.
This day in history, April 4th, in 1818, go back to 1818.
Wow.
Congress adopted a U.S. flag with one star for each state.
Hmm.
Baby step.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See where you're going here.
Then we go 1841. President William Henry Harrison died from pneumonia 1 month after his inauguration.
Okay. That's
kind of a baby step into the presidency of his length, term-wise, you know.
Okay.
A short little baby step, and then he didn't really have
That's true. Own. Not the biggest baby step.
No, when it comes to presidential terms. Lengths and stuff. Mm-hmm. So then we go to 1905. Earthquake in Kangra, India killed more than 20,000 people. Not really a baby step. Although, I guess if you compared it to other like major gigantic earthquakes, it might be a small earthquake. When compared like to ones where like 500,000 people died or something like that, you know, I'm just trying to say it was still very, very bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Then in 40 years later, 1945, Ohrdruf death camp was liberated from Nazi occupation.
Okay. There you go.
Then 4 years
later. Baby steps to freedom.
Yeah, see? That's one camp was liberated.
Okay.
And then many more on the line. Then 4 years later in 1949, the treaty establishing the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO was signed.
I like NATO better. I might stick
like
with that.
Then... the 1968 Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Then we jump to 1973. The ribbon was cut to open the World Trade Center in New York City.
Okay. There you go.
Then in 1979, Pakistan Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto was executed by the military.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then in 1981, Henry Cisneros became the mayor of San Antonio, Texas, first Hispanic mayor of a major U.S. city.
Okay.
That's something. Yeah.
There you go.
Then 2 years later, Sally Ride became the first U.S. woman in space aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Okay.
There you
go. So there you go. Nice mix of all different things. And I'm sure other stuff happened on April 4th throughout the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is just a sampling. Yeah. Just like our news and our new releases, all that stuff. Just a handful of sampling of things. That's what we do on this show. It's a sampling of geek.
Yes, we give you a overview of things you could be more interested in.
A buffet of geekdom. And
exactly.
Try things at your leisure. But that's going to do it for tonight's show. We want to thank you for listening. And, of course, you can always participate because it's never too late. Because generally the internet is on 24/7.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, Caleb, how can they, even though the show is over with, and you know that doesn't matter because our stories have pictures and videos a lot of times. And
that's right.
Maybe they want to read them or comment and they're like, no, but the show's over. I would be silly if I did. No, it's not.
It's never silly. You can always get share your thoughts with us. We appreciate it.
Yes.
When you go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, you can like the page, leave comments, like posts, share it with your friends. It'll be great.
Yeah, be kind. Rewind.
Yes.
Or reshare. Uh-huh.
Oh.
You can also reshare over at twitter.com/robotsattackme. And if you just want one place for all things Robots Attack, including archive episodes of a show, you can go to robotsattack.me.
And soon the Robots Attackopedia will also have all things Robots Attack related.
And we started Instagram.
That's right. We now have Instagram. You can follow us there as well. It's good times.
Search Robots Attack.
Mm-hmm.
All together.
We're looking into Snapchat. We're trying to figure out if there's a place for us.
A little ghosty
on the
arms.
Snappy.
Yeah.
Chatty. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, if you think we should be on Snapchat, let us know.
Yeah. If you would follow us there, let us know. We'll think about it. We'll
share some snaps with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe chat.
Yeah.
Mostly snap.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next Monday. Have a wonderful rest of your week or weekend, whenever you're listening to this.
The future.
All right. Take
it easy.
Raccoons. Marauders.